Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Everybody, what's up? Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm Dave Sullivan, the Roofer Coach, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. Get more tips, strategies, and some great free downloads by going to my website at theroofershow.com. As you know, it's follow-up Friday. What are you doing to follow up? Same with everybody in your business, that whole front office, your sales guys, all kinds of ways you can do it. Mix it up, have some fun with it, but at least take five open quotes that you've got, follow up, give them a call, see what's going on, and see if you can move them closer to buying. Or maybe you need some more reviews. Front office, hey, here's a contest. I want you to bring in five-star reviews today. Whoever gets the five first gets this $100 bill. Whatever it is, follow up though. Or simple as call up five customers and say, thank you. I really appreciate the business. If you know anybody else that needs a roof, be sure that you keep us top of mind and let them know. No front office? Simple. Night before, send out a simple email to some of your customers that you did roofs for. Say, hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Can you give me a five-star review? Here's the link. Make it simple. Then you're driving down the highway the next day. Give them a quick call. Hey, I just want to make sure you get that email. If you have a chance, just click that link. Just take you a few minutes, but our business is built on satisfied customers like yourselves. So if you could just do me this one favor, I would really appreciate it. Who's going to say no to that? It's simple, easy, and it's free. Five follow-ups a week, 50 weeks in a year. That's 250 five-star reviews. You didn't have to spend a lot of time screwing around. It's easy, but you're going to dominate your market. Okay, and what's the word of the day? I like to start my meetings off by going around the room and say, hey, what's one word that kind of describes where you're at right now, where your head's at? And for me, last week, it was gratitude. Be thankful for what you've got here. We've got a good gig going, so just want to feel like I'm thankful. Today, I'm optimistic, looking forward to the new year. I mean, this is going to be a killer year. So what that does is just, you know, sets a tone, sets a positive tone around the room, gets everybody kind of engaged. You can kind of build on that perhaps. Really? Okay, tell me a little more about that. But that sets the tone of a meeting, gets things on the going on the right foot. So just a thought, but to me, I'm optimistic. It's going to be a great 2021 because 2020 really sucked for a lot of us. But I want to start off with a story today. You guys know how I like my stories, but I think you're going to get a lot out of this as a real world situation. I've talked before on the show. I've tried to get the roof done on my house, and I'm having a hell of a time getting it done. You would think I would know how to do this, but I was in commercial roofing forever in this area, well-known business, and I never could find a good residential contractor. And I was never approached by a good contractor that came and said, hey, I know you do just commercial roofing. Why don't we work something out where when you get people that are looking for residential work, which I know you do all the time, why don't you refer them to us? And we'll be your referral partner. And we'll go back and forth if we run into commercial. Boom. Easy. Simple. Everybody forgets to do this. This is a no-brainer. It doesn't cost any money. I'd be happy to do that. I just need somebody that I can refer, that I can trust, that will take care of business and make me look good, not like an ass. So just put together a small group of quality contractors that are going to take care of business, that see the value in this. But, you know, plumbers, HVAC contractors, landscapers, whatever the kind of work that you do, they go after the same target audience. But it's a great way to get business. But back to the roof on my home. I talked before about trying to get this done, didn't know who to call, but happened to be driving up in my neighborhood and saw a job sign, saw these guys out in front, looked pretty professional. So I gave them a call. They came out, and turns out it wasn't the type of job that they do. I don't know if it was too big. It's a good size house. And there's a lot of steep work. So they got a little scared of the safety issues there. So they said, hey, we're going to have to pass on that. It was too bad because I really like these guys. They seem like a good business. But anyway, that was done. So I just really haven't gotten around to anything. So the other day, I get an email from one of my neighbors that says, hey, I'm getting my roof done. So, you know, you can expect some, you know, loud noises and so forth, which I thought was great. They let everybody know. But here's the mistake that this contractor made, is that he should have been the one that sent out the email or dropped off a door hanger or whatever, something that says, hey, we're going to be working in the neighborhood. Let me know if there's any problems, you know, a pardon or dust type of thing. And if you need any roofing services, be sure to give us a call. We're going to be in the neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. Simple. Well, they didn't do that. I had to hear about it from the neighbor. About a week goes by, and all of a sudden, 7:30 in the morning, I hear all this banging. I'm going, what the hell is that? Sure enough, there they are. Well, I'm going to see who they are and see if this is somebody that I want to have come out and take a look at my roof. They're out there in these old funky trucks. There's no job sign. I'm trying to figure out who they are, and there's this little sign on the side of one of the trucks. There was another truck there, no sign. I didn't even know who they were. Nothing, you know, and it wasn't really a professional-looking job site, but, I mean, this is in a neighborhood that's really nice homes, all about the same age. You know, there's a lot of homes that need roofs here, including mine, but nothing. Radio silence. Why wouldn't they do some radius marketing? There's services that will send out, you know, postcards to the 100 neighbors around in the area, letting them know that they're going to be working in the neighborhood. Come down and check out the work, and hopefully you'd come down and there'd be nice, you know, wrapped trucks and good looking job site, job sign. Be sure to come out. You know, if you've got any roofing work, you know, let us know and we're in the hood and we'll come by and take a look at it. But nothing. But I did go to their website, you know, kind of checked them out. And, their website was okay. But what's funny is that they didn't do any radius marketing, but they did retarget me. So I had gone to their website, and now every time I went on social media or whatever, here comes an ad for their company that pops up. So they're paying, you know, a lot of money to have that track me, but they don't do the simple things, the easy stuff, the basics. But I'm checking them out. I look at their website, and then I go to their Google My Business page, and I want to check out the reviews, just like everybody does. You've got to have good reviews. But I just want to go through a couple of these real quick, because this really gives you an idea of what people are saying and what really pisses people off. But buyers look at this stuff. So I'm checking it out. They've got 38 reviews. Nothing to jump up and down about. But and it's a 4.6 rating. Not bad. That's okay. But I always go to the bad reviews first. I look at, you know, the 1 and 2 star reviews. So here's the first one. This is just a couple of weeks ago, and it's a 2 star. But let me tell you what basically what this person is saying. Usually what goes wrong with these reviews is they're talking about not communicating. Okay, that's what they always are. Unfortunately, it has been a super stressful experience. Probably the last thing you want to have during the pandemic. As some of the other people mentioned, I was communicated several times with multiple wrong dates. After calling them hundreds of times, I finally got the confirmation from 3 different people that my installation date is today. Well, guess what happened? Nobody showed up. Goes on. Unfortunately, I still have the contract with them. and can only wish the next date they will provide is actually the real dates. Pray for me. I scroll down to another one-star review, and it says, sort of a joke of a company. No, that's not good. Okay, then they go on to talk about, I called 3 times, got online with their online department 5 times, still no sales guy would call me back. Once he did actually get back to me a week later, it went from bad to worse. Bottom line is that I guess they didn't want my $50,000. And the last one, I drop down a little more and I get to this 1-star review. It's from 3 years ago. Point being, these things don't go away and people are looking at them. So you don't want to screw these things up. But here this guy says, I called and left a message for XYZ company to give me a price quote. I got a call back and a message from Kevin requesting that I call him back. I called at 2 o'clock. The receptionist said they're closed for lunch to call back later. I called back at 2:10, spoke to reception again. I informed the person that I was trying to get in touch with Kevin, and the receptionist said that she is not authorized to connect me directly with Kevin and can only leave a message. A note to the business owner, if I'm trying to spend $15,000 with your company, please do not place barriers between the customer and the salespeople. I will not be choosing XYZ for my roofing project due to the difficulties I had getting in contact with them. When a customer calls you trying to give you business, the receptionist should say, thank you, let me get you a price quote. Not, I'm not authorized to connect you with a sales representative, let me take a message. XYZ has lost an opportunity to make some money today. Well, that's not good. So once again, these bad reviews always come down to some form of communication. And these last 2 reviews, they didn't even do business with them. They just couldn't get through the receptionist. And this is why I'm going to segue into a plug for my sponsor, and that's Ruby Receptionists. Why wouldn't you use these guys to answer the phone professionally with a friendly receptionist? They lost all this business. They probably didn't even know they lost it. Obviously, they're losing much more business because they don't have a professional to handle these calls. So check out Ruby Receptionists. These guys are great. Check them out at callruby.com/roofershow. See what they're all about. And don't let this happen to you. And I certainly won't be using these guys. And here's another sale that they just lost. They had no idea that I was out there and that I'm not going to buy from them. These are your competitors out there. Just do the basic stuff and do it really well. We've got a great show for you today. I'm going to continue on from episode number 200, our 200th podcast. And we started off with what are the top 10 takeaways that we've gotten from 200 expert interviews, myself sharing some of my experience over the 30 years. Hopefully we gave you some great stuff. However, the first one, I got through the five takeaways, and I got a little carried away, as you can tell. I don't make a script for this show particularly. I jot down some notes about the things that I want to talk about, but that 200th episode got a little in-depth on a few of them, and we got through 5. Last week, 201, I got through a few more and had a couple of stories about my coaching clients. Hopefully that was helpful. But I still didn't finish. I got through, what did I get through? 8 of the top 10 takeaways. So here we are, episode number 202. But I promise I'm going to wrap this up because all we've got is 2 more to go. But they're great ones, I'll tell you. This is going to be a great show and you're going to get a lot out of this. If you missed those last 2 shows, be sure to go back and check them out because I think there's some great nuggets in there that will really help out any contractor. We left off talking about or three-legged stool, how business is just like a three-legged stool. You've got to sell work, you've got to do work, and you've got to keep score. And those are the three legs of our stool. All of those have to be strong and solid. Last week, we talked about the selling work. How do we get more leads, more qualified leads? How do we move those along to the sale each step of the way? I think we had some good tips about the process. And then we got into, now that we've got all these leads coming in, how are we going to track them? How are we going to keep these from falling through the cracks? And I mean literally falling through the cracks. When I started off in business, we had these books, our lead books, and they were carbon copies. They would write down the information, who to see, what the address is, so forth. So you'd get these, we'd pass them out in the morning, and you get the stack of leads, and you put them in your truck. And it wasn't long until they actually fell through the cracks. They fell between the seats and they're gone. Your prospect's calling you, where the hell are you? It's a mess. These days, it's so much easier with a CRM program. I just realized I sound like my father. Back in the old days. Anyway, be sure you've got a good CRM. Be sure everybody's using it. Listen to last week's show. We really get into that, but it makes it so much easier to move these deals along, and that's going to be reflected in your close rate. Now, if you followed the advice from last week, you've got a really strong backlog of good, solid work. You should always be tracking this to know what does that mean. For us, really, we only wanted to be about 4 weeks booked up. Not anymore. We wanted to be able to service our customers, and we wanted to be able to charge higher prices and not get bogged down with a bunch of cheap work early on like so many contractors do. But that's something you want to track and be aware of. Regardless, we've got a strong backlog right where we want to be. And we did it in less time than we were before because we're only going out to qualified deals. So we're not going out and talking with tire kickers and wasting our time running around in circles like everybody is always complaining about. I'm so busy. I don't have time to spend with qualified prospects that are going to buy. You end up shoving these things in the mailbox or you email it out to them, and your close rate reflects that. So we've done a great job with this. We've saved a bunch of time. Now we got some free time to spend with our family because we're qualifying. We're using our time wisely. And we also have high margin work because we learned some sales skills. We learned how to sell. We learned how to listen and ask questions. I call it the talk-listen ratio. You want to be listening a lot more than flapping your gums like too many salespeople do. They get nervous, so they start talking more and more. If you ask the right questions, if you listen, they will give you a roadmap of how to sell the deal. We've got all this high-margin work now. And I'm talking about selling those jobs where your prospect says, you know, I'm going to give you this job. You're 20% higher than your competitors, but I trust you and I like the things that you're saying. You listen to the concerns that we had. So you've got the deal and it's high margin work. You don't care what everybody else is charging. Go out and get your price. Now we're going to do the work. Our second leg of the stool. So tell me, have you ever been in this situation? You get a call from your foreman out on the job. Hey, boss, we got a problem out here. We don't have the right material, so we got to make another lumberyard run. Or, hey, we just broke the prize rose bushes you were talking about. That's not good. Or maybe we finished the job already. First rain. Call from the customer, just going nuts. Hey, you got a big leak in my new roof, and it's leaking right on my grand piano. We've all been there. And it's a total time suck. We got to drop everything, rush out there to deal with this problem. No wonder we don't have any time to spend with our family. We're working 14 hours a day and weekends. And because it's all these unplanned errors, unforced errors that we're dealing with. All this time and money we're wasting, we call it slippage or bleeding profits, but we're losing money on all of these jobs whenever this happens because of poor planning. So today I'm going to give you the process that we followed, and it just eliminated all these. We didn't have problems with callbacks because over the years, we corrected our mistakes, we learned from those, and developed a process that works because we've had all kinds of problems. I start off with a lesson that I learned early on. We were in a hurry. I just wrote this job up, and apparently, I put the wrong address on because mid-morning, I get a call from the person that lives at the wrong address and said, "Hey, you just tore my roof off. What the hell are you doing?" I was at work. I got a call. I came home and look what happened. What are you going to do about this? Well, being a great salesman that I was, at least I was able to get 50% of the price of the new roof for the wrong address. And we went and did the right one. So let's get into how we're going to make more money and have more free time, because that's what it's all about. We're going to have less problems, which means we don't have to go out and deal with these things. We're going to have more satisfied customers, and we're going to put more money in our pocket. And that comes down to having a good process. A checklist, a simple process that we use every time, and it avoids having these same mistakes over and over again. So this is the way that we did it. And I know what a lot of you are going to say is that I don't have time to do this whole thing. It really takes a lot of time. No, what takes a lot of time is when you have an upset customer and you've got to go out there and you've got to screw around with these things. And they're leaving these one-star reviews for you after you screw up. So yes, you have to take the time to do this, because this is how you end up with tons of five-star reviews, tons of referrals, happy customers. It takes time to do this, and it takes process. But they're simple things. They're basics, all right? So we start off with the job package, okay? And the salesman was responsible for putting this together in my business, the way that we did it. Everybody does it differently. So puts all this together. He's got the contract. He's got the permit. He's got all of these things that he's responsible for getting. Here's the checklist. And we have somebody check it over, make sure that everything's there, that the contract's right. They've got the estimate, on and on and on. Okay, it's a checklist. Now, the person that checks this over is also responsible for ordering the material. More importantly, keeping in touch with the customer to let them know the schedule. And you heard in one of those reviews what happens when you don't keep in touch with the customer and let them know the schedule. And for those of you that have a big backlog now, it's really important to keep in touch with that customer, because I've seen where customer is wondering, "Hey, I haven't heard anything from these guys. Are they still going to do the job?" Forget it. I don't want to do it anymore. And they cancel the contract. So by keeping in touch with them, "Hey, just want to let you know we're still 2 weeks out," or whatever, letting them know what's going on, you're going to keep them happy. You're going to keep them aware of what's going on, and you're not going to have canceled contract. Now we have a job package, and where the biggest problems come from is what we call the handoff, where sales, here's who sold the job. Now we're going to turn it over to production, and they need to do the job as the salesman sold it. So, and this is where the communication falls down. So we're going to have a pre-job, a pre-construction meeting. "Oh, that's going to take too much time," you're saying. If you don't do that, you're going to roof the wrong house like I did. This eliminates so many problems. So we've got sales that come out, and we've got our job foreman, and if we've got a superintendent, everybody's out there. And you want to notify the owner of the home or the building owner. You want to have them there because not only are you going to explain to the foreman what's going on, but you have to go around the house and say, okay, what's important to you? Let's take a look at the driveway, okay? It looks okay to me. There's no cracks here, so on and so forth. Let's take a walk around the house. Okay, we're going to have a porta potty, and this is where it's going to go. We're going to have a job sign, and I'm setting it up here today, and I'm putting it over here. Is that fine? Great. Are there any special concerns that you have? Well, yeah, we've got a dog, so we've got to make sure the dog doesn't get out. And we've got to cover these bushes and whatever it is. You're communicating that, and the owner is involved with this, so they know what's going on. And what I always had was our foreman, who was going to be doing in charge of installing the project. He would have a business card. He would give that business card directly to the owner. And if there needs to be any communication, you guys get together, work this out, go direct. There's no sense in going through reception, going around and around. Or if maybe he doesn't speak English very well, so you want to avoid that, then have them call you directly. Because if you've got a customer that has a problem, you better get all hands on deck and solve that problem quickly. Or it's going to take you five times the amount of time to handle it on the back end. So get all this stuff worked out. And we're using our checklist so we don't forget anything. And these come from the screw-ups that we've made for over the years. And we want to make sure that we don't continue to make these same mistakes. Now we've been squared away with the owner. He's happy, understands what's going on. We're all on the same page. Now we've got to get our estimate together and make sure we can do the job. So here's our budget. We're talking, this is the way that we estimated it. Now, here's going to the foreman. Can you do it? Here's the number of hours or the number of man days that you've got to do the job. Let's make sure everybody's together and we agree on this. But you can't just say, go out and do the job and it's going to be what it's going to be. And that's no way to run a business. So you want to know up front if you have a problem. If it's a matter of, you know, you're dreaming, there is no way we can do this job in 2 days. It's going to take us four. You screwed up on the estimate. And the way that we did it, we were doing large commercial projects, so it's a little different, but we had our superintendent out there. And he was basically the referee because sales always is, you know, too aggressive. Maybe production, you know, doesn't want to be that aggressive. They want to have a little more time so they're not killing themselves. But before we get off that roof, you got to have an agreement and everybody signs off on it. So if there's a problem, we got to say, okay, superintendent's going to look at it. And he can see it from both sides, but we got to compromise, we got to work this out, and we've got to stay on budget, because otherwise you're just shooting in the dark. You know you don't know if you're making money or not. As we're going, we take all our photos with company cams, so they go into the file. We're taking before pictures, you know, the driveway, all of the surrounding area, anything that the owners could be coming back on and saying, hey, this got screwed up during the job, and go, well, no, actually it was like that before, and here's the photo. We had our jobs loaded, so here's a photo we send to our supplier. This is where we want the material, because it's costly to have to move material, and if they get it in the wrong spot, we got to move it around and so forth. So we want to have that clear. We want to run this job efficiently. Now, we've explained to the owner that, you know, we're probably going to have some extra costs. We're going to get this roof off. There's going to be some decking that needs replacing, whatever it is. This is how we're going to handle it. We're going to text you a photo on company cam. You can just approve it right then, text it back to me, and we will send a bill out at that time so it doesn't get forgotten, doesn't get left until the end of the job when you're fighting over it. You got to stay on top of these extras because that's big money. Now we're all set. We're going to start the job, and be sure that you've got a time tracker, that we're using that to track the time of our guys. We've got a GPS so we know how long they're going to the 7-Eleven for hanging around having donuts, whatever it is. So we're getting that time in, and we're getting information back from the field, and then we're giving it back to them, letting them know how much time they've used and so forth, and we're keeping track of all this. So everybody knows, particularly on larger jobs, how this thing's coming, because if we used 80% of our time and we're only 50% of the job of completion, we got a problem. So at that point, we got to know that. We're going to say, hey, time out. Let's take a break. What are we going to do here? Because now there's something we can do about it. The job is over. It's over. You can't do anything. So now we can at least say, okay, what happened? How do we pick this thing up? Maybe we need a different strategy. Maybe we need to go back to the owner because we ran into problems and get an extra. Now, here is something that we want to eliminate completely, and that is lumberyard runs. Something came up short. Something screwed up. We've got to take a run to the lumberyard. We can see that on our time tracker. That costs us a lot of money when that happens, and we want to know why that happened, who screwed up, how we prevent it. But we really eliminated these lumber runs just by having accountability. Now, something that we all fight with is the dreaded callback, the warranty work, the leak in our new roof. Not only is it a huge cost, but we've got an upset customer, and rightly so. So over the years, we have really almost totally eliminated that. And that came from making mistakes again and learning from them. But again, we came up with a tool, our checklist, and we called it the Perfect 10. It was a list of the top 10 items over the years that required callbacks. Whether it was we left the ladder out there, or you know, we didn't seal the outside of our scuppers. That was a big problem that we had a lot. Commercial projects, you had mechanical equipment that leaked. Even though it wasn't in our work, we would get blamed because any water coming in through the roof is our fault, as we know. But we'd have a list of these top 10 items. And in our case, we had somebody that went back after the job was completed and checked these off. And they would go through each item and take a photo. And if it was perfect, they'd get a check. If it wasn't perfect, they would make the repairs then and make it perfect. But if you don't have somebody like this on a smaller job, you know, you could have the foreman, or in a case with a lot of my coaching clients, they have subcontractors. So I have the subcontractors do it. At least we've got somebody checking these things. And it reinforces the idea of quality control and how important it is to do good quality work. And we also use this as a sales tool, where we would go over this Perfect 10 checklist and say, you know, these are the problems that happen with roofing projects. We learned over the years and we learned to correct them. And this is how we control our quality on our jobs. This is how we make sure that we don't have these problems that so many contractors do when they install a new roof. Well, now we've completed the job. We've done our Perfect 10. Everything looks great. We are having, whether it's a meeting in person or over the phone, over Zoom with the customer. And first question is, how do you like the job? Did they do a good job? Are you happy? And so forth. And when they say yes, that's when you ask them for a review. Before we sold this job, or during the sale, we asked the customer, we said, you know, our goal on this project is to get a 5-star review, because that's how our business is built, on our reputation. So we are going to make sure that we do 5-star quality work. And if that is, in fact, the way that the job turns out, that's our goal, would you be willing to give us a 5-star review? Sure, of course. Well, you're going to ask them now. You know, you brought that up at the beginning. Now we've completed the job. You are going to ask for that review. And make it simple. That's what's so important. Here's the link. Here's how you do it. This is having this explanation, you know, just kind of a simple, easy, quick description on what you need to do to leave us a review. Some people don't really know. There's all kinds of apps or programs that you can use for doing this, and you can track these things. I like the one where you got the happy face or the sad face. Well, everybody's going to give you the happy face because you already asked them. You're not going to have a surprise one-star review because you're communicating with the customer. And once they say they're happy, great. Give me the money. last guy off the roof, pick up the check. And we're going to get that review, and we're going to ask for referrals also. Make sure they're happy. Now the job's closed out, everything's good, but we want to continue this relationship because there's repeat business. They could buy another home. They could refer us to other people. So again, we want to keep this top of mind. What I like to do, maybe 2 weeks later or a month later, is send them a little card. Just say, hey, I just wanted to thank you, because nobody ever says thank you. Maybe a little gift or something. Just say, hey, really appreciate you giving us the work, putting your trust in us. And again, you know, refers to your friends. And then down the road, you keep them, whether you have a little newsletter that goes out, or maybe a year later, set your CRM to notify you, hey, it's been your 1 year anniversary for your roof. Make sure everything's good. Make sure you refer us. And you're talking about a lifetime customer. All right. Well, that was our number 9 takeaway from 200 episodes with expert interviews. And that is the job process, our second leg of our stool. So now we've sold this great work. We've installed this great work. Now we have to keep score. And that is number 10, the third leg of our three-legged stool. And all of this, again, the stool has to be balanced. Each of those legs have to be strong. And keeping score is just as important as selling the work and doing the work. And that scorekeeping really comes down to job costing. Job costing each and every one of our jobs. Because too many contractors don't job cost. They wait until the end of the year to find out if they made any money or not. As opposed to, we finish a project, we've got our estimate, we've got our actual. Now, what's the variance on each of our categories? Okay, our labor. Maybe we bid 45 days on this and it came out at 60 days. What went wrong? Okay, we got to determine that so we can improve that. I had one of my salesmen that for some reason, his material was always off. Okay, how do you screw that up? Don't know how to measure the roof, but we had to make adjustments. I wouldn't have known that if we hadn't done job costing. And we would have cut until the end of the year. We're not making money. I'm like, what is going on? You wouldn't have any ideas. So that's why you break it down. It's not that complicated. We did a quick course here just a few weeks ago. You can go back and check that out. But it was a 4-part mini course on the 5 ways to increase your profits on every job. And that's through job costing. I did that with Diane Gilson. She is my go-to finance person. You've heard her on the show before. She's great and really gets into this. This is a great short course on why you need the job cost. So this is something that's really important. So I'm not going to go too deep on that, but it's going to make a huge difference in your company. You just can't wait till the end of the year to see if you made any money, because it's too late. You've got to course correct as you go. So check that out. Go back and look at the listen to this 4-part mini course. And also, go check out Diane's site. She's got some great free downloads about job costing, scorekeeping, the finance. Really makes it simple. And that's what I like about working with Diane, is that It's easy. She's got some great online courses. You want to make sure that you pass these along to anybody that's dealing with the numbers in your business, whether it's your bookkeeper, your accountants, even your CPA. Send them this information so they understand construction accounting. But go to buildyournumbers.com/Dave. She's got some great downloads. Check that out. That's buildyournumbers.com/Dave. And check it out. She's got some great stuff. So we won't go too deep on that, but job costing is really important. All right. Well, that is our 10 takeaways from all of these interviews, 200 episodes. So hopefully you got a lot out of this. Granted, it was really long. I had hoped to pick this up in one episode, turned into three, but hopefully we had some good stories in there that made some sense, that helped your business. And as always, I really appreciate everybody listening to the show. Be sure you go to iTunes, leave me a review if you got some value out of that. That always helps. And also be sure you're subscribed to the show so you don't miss any of the episodes. And until next week, we will catch you on the Roofer Show.